New River, Karen Peck, one more group, two more groups, including the group you're hearing now, Triumphant, singing their number one, Amazing God. And again, they will be in concert at First Baptist Church of North Augusta on Georgia Avenue this Friday, June 10th, from 7 p.m. till 10 p.m. Tell you what. This would be a great way to spend an evening. Great concert featuring some great artists. Looking forward to you being there. All right. And remember, if for whatever reason you're not able to get those tickets today or tomorrow, which you can do by going to their administrative office, the administration office, you can get your tickets at the door at the Worship Center, where the concert will be taking place this Friday. All right, I'd like for you to rejoin a conversation that we were having last week with regards to something that has to do with, again, in a very real way, harmony, has to do with us caring about one another. And I'm talking about environmental justice. And remember how, courtesy of the Natural Resources Defense Council, we were taking a look at that history and kind of getting an idea of how it has brought us to where we are today with regards to environmental justice. And in talking about environmental justice, discussing the environment in the context of justice, because some of the things that take place that pollute the environment, whether we're talking about the land, the air, the water, any combination of those three, have to do with decisions that some of the decision makers make with regards to where they want to put various types of plants, facilities, etc., that will pollute, maybe harm the environment. And it brings us back to the question that I've asked before. Do you think that situations create themselves, or do you think situations are created by people? And a lot of the problematic situations that we face are created by people and not by the situations that we discuss and find ourselves facing. So last week we were talking about, again, from a historical perspective, the issue of environment and justice, and how primarily environmental justice has been championed by African Americans and Latinos, Asians, Pacific Islanders, and Native Americans. And one of the things that we also looked at is the fact that, as it turns out, communities of color, which are often also low-income communities, are routinely targeted to host facilities that have negative environmental impacts. Targeted. And you may recall that last week when we looked at this, I was talking about a county in North Carolina where the decision was being made. You know, the political leaders were looking at various places in North Carolina to locate some stuff that would be harmful, PCBs. They wanted to move soil that was contaminated with PCBs. And so they looked throughout the state and they decided that the county they wanted to put this soil in would be Warren County. And that was so intriguing because, as it turns out, Warren County was one of only a few counties in the state that had a majority black population. And again, you have to ask yourself, Was it purely coincidental that despite the fact that the vast majority of the counties in North Carolina were predominantly white counties, they chose a county that was a majority black county to plant this contaminated soil? Well, as I mentioned last week, the environmental advocates fought against this. They did not want the state to put this contaminated soil next to this black community. Warren County lost that battle. North Carolina ultimately buried the PCBs in Warren County. But the controversy crystallized the idea that the nation's environmental problems disproportionately burden its low-income people of color. Now, here's the beauty of it. We're going to get to this. There are organizations that are predominantly white organizations that have joined in the outcry against planting so much environmentally harmful stuff by low-income communities of color, targeting these communities. Other communities of color, and by the way, I take my hat off to everyone who's involved in this struggle. All ethnicities, white community, black community, Asian community, Latino community, the people of all classes, all social classes who are joining in this struggle, people who say, hey, look, there has got to be a better way. So let's find that better way and implement that better way than targeting communities of color, low-income communities of color, to contaminate their water and their air. I'll be honest with you, I'm not convinced that there is no way to do this without bringing unnecessary harm to any communities. Because now I want to make this very clear. I don't think it's cool to contaminate the water, the air, the land by any community, whether white communities or communities of color. I don't think we have fully exhausted the brilliance that the Creator has given mankind when it comes to just, number one, avoiding a lot of this contamination to begin with, and number two, properly disposing of it so that we don't do any communities unnecessary harm. I'm not so sure that we've exhausted our abilities to come up with a way of number one, avoiding, and number two, and I say avoiding, not the spreader, but avoiding the whole process of contaminant in the first place, building up all these contaminants in the first place, and then secondly, hitting particular communities with this stuff. Other communities of color had organized even before Warren County to oppose environmental threats. And for example, in the early 1960s, Latino farm workers led by Cesar Chavez fought for workplace rights, including protection from harmful pesticides in the farm fields of California's San Joaquin Valley. In 1967, African-American students took to the streets of Houston to oppose a city garbage dump in their community that had claimed the life of a child. In 1968, residents of West Harlem in New York City fought unsuccessfully against a sewage treatment plant in their community. But the Warren County protests marked the first instance of an environmental protest by people of color that fortunately garnered widespread national attention. How are we doing when it comes to caring about all social classes and all ethnicities? When we think about and talk about the nation that we want to leave to our children and grandchildren, do we care about all of our children, all of the nation's children and grandchildren? I didn't know that we serve